Welcome back to Reflections. Your host, Jorge Gonzalez, and my guest today, my friend, my brother Fernando, and my sister Maritere. We're talking about Tazis Dorado and its founding and the philosophical aspects of the foundation of Tazis and the importance that has in our developing children, educating children. And I want to go, before we end the program, I want to bring that to where we are today in Puerto Rico with the polarization and the violence that we have. But as I said before the end of the last segment, I wanted Maritere to sort of describe her background, studied to be a teacher, but then the role of teacher versus principal, which has been your back, not back and forth, your development, let's put it that way. Just tell us a little bit about that. At different, you would be a principal both at Rosabel and then of course at Tazis. Go ahead.
At my first school, I started as a substitute teacher, and it's interesting because you see different grades, different levels, and you see the teacher that is organized and prepared.
In what subjects? Okay.
That is organized as a sub. You get called in for anything.
Okay.
So you see the teacher that's ready and prepared, and they give you something to do, and then you see the teacher that has nothing planned, and you have to go and improvise, which is extremely difficult when you are called in for a second grade, which you've never taught, in science, which is not my strength. But it teaches you through tough experiences that you need to be sure that you have at least three lessons that are prepared that you could hand in at any time for those that might come in to substitute you. So I studied American Studies. It was the first interdisciplinary degree at the Newton College of the Sacred Heart. And I think it formed my way of thinking in a sense that, yes, history was crucial to it, and you could combine it with politics, which was a lot of perhaps what most people do, but you took classes from the best of every department. So in studying American film, I that sort of blew my mind. American education, I just loved it, learning about John Dewey and Learn by Doing and all the other wonderful educators. But It gave me, I think, the tendency to analyze things from different disciplines. You know, how would this look like from a musician point of view? How would this look like from someone entrenched in politics? And so I started teaching when I received the position. I was a social studies teacher for 7th and 8th grade, and we're changing to be not an English as language of instruction, but definitely to strengthen the English department. So I taught English and social studies in middle school. That's still my favorite age. They think they're adults, they're not. They can be pesky, but they're so spontaneous and loving still. And, you know, I feel that it's probably the age where you can make most of a difference.
Some people is the most dangerous age too, right?
I agree.
They can really fall into depression.
It's a transition year, crucial from elementary to high school. Yeah. They're probably the most important years.
Right, and they're trying out their ideas. So if you don't, you know, if you shoot them down, they won't talk to you. You need to open that dialogue and have them express themselves. So you can present, you know, different challenging points of view. They used to call me the devil's advocate teacher because I would always try to take, okay, I have to say that I agree with part of what you're saying, but let me just propose this different interpretation. And, you know, you need to, I was always intent on having creative thinkers. Mm-hmm. And I always was thinking of the future. I wanted to be sure that the struggles that I went through in college, my students didn't. So I thought writing was extremely important. I wanted them to be able to express their opinions, to feel confident. So I sort of wanted to continue studying, and I took courses in English, master's in English, and I took at the same time enrolled in a different university courses in higher education. I just thought that the educators were, just incredibly interesting. So I decided to study to be a principal, and I didn't think it was going to hand right on my lap. My son's senior year, the principal resigned, and they were looking for a new one, and I was newly certified. So those were the last 6 years there. Difference, you are the teacher of teachers. I was a very active principal. I would go in where they would say, this class is, these students are incredible, they're so difficult. And I'd say, let me go in and see what I see. They knew I was going to work with them. I was not going to start taking points off of their evaluation. And, the first teacher that said, well, why don't you do it? Why don't you teach them? I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted. So, it's just in a collaborative way, mm-hmm. to, again, give an alternative. And I'm proud to say that I always said, we're learning with you, we're learning together. No one answer is always the only answer, which is more fulfilling. You have a lot more control as a teacher, as a principal. I would say my hands and my heart are you people in the classroom, and I depend on you. So, let's not raise our voices. Let's not be angry. Let's not try to shut anybody down, because that's not the way to form characters. That's the way to form, I guess, angry people, and we don't want that.
Yeah. So. And then dealing with parents and the teacher versus the principal. That's a tough job.
I absolutely love dealing with parents.
Yeah.
I have to say.
Not all parents.
What can I say? I had a good track record, mm-hmm. with parents, even the most difficult ones.
As a teacher,
I remember calling a parent in and saying, "I'm concerned because your child says that he has cereal for breakfast and you have a glass of rum." It was brave, but somebody had to defend this kid. And the parent was angry, but he came back and he said, I was most impressed that you said at the beginning and just when I was leaving, this conversation is only taking place because we share the love for your child. And there's no judgment here. There's only, is there anything we can do to help? How can we help you? Because it was a single dad and he was overwhelmed with his kid and one thing brought the other. So I was not afraid of dealing with difficult topics. And I always, as a principal too, I always said there's only one reason we're here. And it's because we both love your kid. And we're on the same side. We're not on different sides. We're not, we shouldn't be at war. We were very clear when we talked about our mission and our vision and our values. I'm sure you share them. I understand you're upset and angry, but let's walk away for a minute, and we would either walk around the campus, and Tassus, it was so easy. We would go to the lake. It's a beautiful campus. So and we would walk around and, suddenly, you could reason and talk to the parents. So,
and so
the more difficult, the more I said, send them to me.
Yeah. Let's bring this challenge, to what's happening. Let's take, for example, the Charlie Kirk assassination and what's happening. I mentioned in the break that I listened to Jimmy Kimmel, who came back. His late night show, and after being suspended because pressure on ABC from both Trump and the FCC chairman, who he really takes the task on it. But it's a beautiful program of him, you know, first of all, make it clear, saying sorry for what he said at one moment, and that had to do that this was somebody within the MAGA movement, which wasn't, he didn't really mean what he, but he was extremely great. One of the things he mentioned, in fact, he almost cried. He was saying that he listened to his wife, to Charlie Kirk's wife, who forgave the murder, and he says, "I was so touched," and he really broke up. And this is what we do. He says, "You know, if you believe in Christ, which I do, this is what you have to do," and also. But anyway, this thing when there's, you know, both of them, both sides, erroneously will speak about they, you know, they killed Charlie Kirk, and on both sides, and he's made it clear. He says, you know, he had already written that he had the very first moment had taken place that he said he had great compassion. It was something completely wrong, etc. But he says that this was done by somebody, by a person. And I was just reflecting and reminiscing in terms of, you know, the role of the school and the family and the community and everything. So he's saying, no, it was this person, deranged, you know, individual. And some people still saying it's they. And I came up, I said, you know, it's really us. You know, it's really us. It's not he, and it's not they, it's us. So long as we say it's they, then it's someone else's fault. But it was, as you were saying, reflection and all, you know, it's us. It's you know, we have to get involved in the educational system. We have to get involved as parents and as grandparents and as uncles and as friends and as everything else. We have to get involved in the community. Your husband is with United Way, Fondos Unidos, at Iowa. Incidentally, Tina Hills passed away, who was so critical for Fondos Unidos and the Angel Ramos Foundation. Incredible, 40, 50 years that she was behind it. 103 years old. It's almost like Mrs. Fleming. She's an incredible person. But the community's foundations, there's everything has to come together. There's no silver bullet. There's no easy way to do things. You know, I just wanted you get your, with your roles and that you have had in the educational system and your roles as parents and great parents and all, just want to have your reflection on what's happening and something like with Charlie Kirk and the they versus he versus we.
Well, there's so much hate in the world that you know, in education, that's, we've got to deal with that, and it comes from the homes. And yes, we have to educate our parents. Yes, we have to bring in the community as a whole. Everybody is part of this. Whatever their problem is, we've got to solve them together. We're not part of the solution. We're part of the problem as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where Mrs. Fleming was so far ahead of the times when she felt that love and tender loving care is part of the educational, the key ingredient of binding this recipe together is love. If we don't have that in our schools and they don't learn that at home, where are they going to learn it? There is no other source.
So, well, you know, there's sometimes it's a mentor from outside the family, from outside the school. It's just, you can really, you know, somebody will come up from nowhere, you know, coach, you know, and not a school coach, but it takes a, Tere, we have a minute, and, you know, in terms of your reflection on this issue.
I think there are moments in history where you can find real leaders. I think 9/11 was devastating. I never heard the president say he went to a mosque the next day.
George Bush did?
George Bush.
He was in my class at Andover.
So, you know, he sees that moment where he could have created hatred, and it was there, but he gave an example of unity. And I think to follow Christ, I think it's the biggest challenge of the world.
Sure.
Because he said, love one another as I have loved thee. I think one of the most beautiful things that Charlie Kirk's widow said was, you can't combat hate with hate. Mm. That's just not going to work.
Right.
You have to combat it with love. And it sounds like, you know, some people say, oh, that sounds so nice. That sounds so immature. That's like high schoolish. And it's like, no, think about it. It is hard. It is difficult. You know, when someone is attacking what you're saying, to say, okay, you don't need to attack the person. Let's attack the ideas. Now, what about what I'm saying is so negative? I think it's easy to destroy. It's difficult to construct. And we need to be in the business of constructing.
I think with those words, this third segment in this program ends. So be out there. Let's construct. We have to do it all together. See you next week.
Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM was proud to present Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, reflecting on events with our well-being in mind.